But this morning we're going to look at Psalm 20. And we're going to talk about trusting God. He says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, in the name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice." Then he uses that word I love so well, Selah. That's a pause, but it says, think of that. Think of that. And you just stop for a moment and think about what the Lord said in those three verses. "Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, and let the King hear us when we call." Amen?
Amen.
Let him hear us when we call. Well, you know the verse I'm looking at. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. He says we will remember. But friends, we're going to do more than that. We're going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's kind of an easy outline, isn't it? Okay, number one, some trust in chariots. Number two, others trust in horses. Three, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. I always used to feel sorry for Madeline O'Hare. Because, you know, every time she spent money, she either just refused to look at it, or she would look at it and it would say, "In God we trust." I wonder if that aggravated her. She didn't. Don't you feel sorry for people who can't believe in the Lord? I always do. Guy said, "I don't believe that." And I always said, "That's your problem. You don't believe." And I have a friend at the YMCA. He said, "Oh, that's what you believe." He said, "I don't believe that." "No," I said, "you believe. You just believe that it isn't true. I believe that it is true. That's the difference between you and me. I believe the Bible, and you don't. But you believe." People say, "Well, you can't express your faith." Well, I said, "You're expressing your faith. You're saying it negatively. You must be a negative person. I don't believe, you know." And I said, "You do. You just believe negatively. You don't believe that the Lord is real and that he sent his son." And I go through the whole thing with him again and again. He likes to kind of just, you know, get me started. And then he wants to walk out right away. And I always say, "You're not a believer." I said, "I believe." And then he'll say, "Well, I don't." I said, "Yes, you do. You just believe that the Lord isn't real." And I said, "I believe he's real. And I believe his word is real. And I believe his word is true." And he says, "I've got to go." And I said, "Well, I do too, but I'm going to go believing." Madeline had her problems with believing. She just couldn't get it. She didn't have much in the way of faith. But it's so wonderful that in our country we can believe, and we've always had leaders who believe. Some believe more than others, but you know how wonderful our country was begun this way on such a wonderful foundation of the Word of God. When our presidents take oath of office, they put their hand on the Bible. I like that. But to love God's Word, as we have been talking about how great the Word of God is, and you think that the book that we love is the foundation upon so many lives, and people put their trust in God. He'll say, "And so help me God. Help me God." Trust in God is a wonderful thing, and we want our leaders to trust God. And we want our friends to trust God in a world that's so full of uncertainties, you know. We didn't know that Brother Edwin wouldn't be here. His health was uncertain and is. And when you think about the uncertainty of the weather, they told us yesterday that today we might have rain. We're hanging on here. Yeah. And it's still not coming. I don't think it has. No, it hasn't. So I'm not hoping for it. I'm trusting the Lord to give us sunshine. I love sunshine. And I'm not a farmer, so I love sunshine. There's uncertainty, and there's uncertainty about the Dow Jones averages, and there's uncertainty about the airlines. You know, now that's something you could just get into a long way. I'll avoid that. Life is uncertain on the highways and the freeways and the turnpikes. And you know, all of modern life just creates all kinds of uncertainty in our hearts. Sometimes it becomes fear and anxiety because there's so many things about life that is so uncertain. And you know, what a wonderful thing it is to have a strong faith, a dynamic faith that you can trust in the Lord. And our text tells us that some people trust in other things. And it kind of takes you back into the Old Testament, which of course the Psalms are part of. But when you, in spite of fears, the psalmist is saying that while other people trust in these things, chariots and in horses, he's going to trust in the Lord. Now that's a great resolve, and it's a great statement. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to believe God. I believe that you can trust in God and that God will not fail you. And that's what people are saying. I'm going to trust the Lord. There are times when people say, "Trust the Lord." And that professor turned to me and he said, "We'll just trust the Lord that he'll speak through you." And I was saying, "Yes, I'm trusting in the Lord to help me," you know. And I was. And he did. But, you know, I was chagrined in my own heart. But here's a word that is part of our lives, and it's something that when we come to camp, there's always some kind of help at camp that comes to us so that we're strengthened to trust the Lord more than ever before. Many times we come by reason of the fact that we have such a need in our lives, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual or whatever it could be. We're looking to God, and when you're looking to God, it means that you're trusting God. And you come with that in mind and you just say, "Well, I just trust that God will speak to me, will help me, will lift me, will bring me through this." Because that's how he does it. And he never fails us. He never fails. There's never a time that you've ever trusted God that he failed. He may have failed in the way you think that he was going to answer prayer, but he never failed. Because he can never change. And he can never forsake us. He can never deny himself. What he is, he will always be. And what he's promised, he will perform. Hallelujah. These are the promises of God and the unchangeableness of God and the immutability of God. God who cannot lie and cannot change, has sworn by himself in which it's impossible for him to lie. cannot, and he cannot deny himself, and in that sense he's not denying us any good thing when we walk with him. So let's look at this passage of scripture for a few moments and see what's implied here. Notice that first of all it says some trust in chariots. That represents all the creative strength. When the psalmist was writing, he was thinking about the thing that represented the greatest power of the armies of the people of that then known world. And when he wrote the psalm, it was in the presence of chariots, because the delicate balance of power in the world was not atomic power or nuclear power, but it was chariot power. That's the way, you know, when we see some of the older movies, now they're old movies, 60, 70 years old, a movie like Ben-Hur many years ago, they had these chariot races, and with the horses, and they were battles, and it tells you something about, because that represented their power, and it tells you something about man's creative power and his genius and his ability to do things. It's his own strength. And when you read the stories in Exodus, as God's ready to deliver the children of Israel, and they've been in Egypt for 400 years, and they're still held captive, and all these, the Lord has called Moses and has trained him, and now he breaks upon the scene, and Moses is going before the Pharaoh, and they go through these plagues, and finally the plague of the angel of death, and the blood sprinkled upon the doorposts and the lintel. And Pharaoh is finally caught up in it, and he says, "You can go." And Israel takes off, and they have all this spoil, and they've marched out, and they've moved towards the Red Sea, and here they are, and they get that far, and Pharaoh says, "Why'd we let them go? Wonder, that was a lot of foolishness, and you know, let's go after them." And he gets his 600 great chariots, is what Exodus of 14 says. And all the soldiers and all the men, and you can remember as you see it in the Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston, it's Moses, and he has his arms out and he says, "Stand still, see the salvation of God." I wonder if Moses looked like Charlton Heston. He just out there and taking it all in. And Israel goes across, and I love it. They go across on dry land, you know. And then Pharaoh's chariots follow, and they get partway across, and all of a sudden, the Lord begins to move. It says in one of the phrases that's in the scripture, that's maybe repeated more in the New Testament, but it's in the Old Testament too, and it says, "And it came to pass." That means the way things are now, they're not going to be tomorrow or the next day, because God is going to change it. In verse 24 of that 14th chapter, it says, "And it came to pass in the morning watch, now listen to that. In the morning watch, the Lord looked down through the clouds out of heaven. And he saw that pillar of cloud, you know, that's leading them. And it says, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians." Do you know how the Lord can trouble the enemy? When you trust in the Lord. In a moment of time, God can turn circumstances around and just reshape them and transform them. so that it brings glory to Him and it brings good to us. It's just, the Lord can deal with the army of the enemy anytime He pleases. And when we put our trust in Him, He will do it. He just wants us to trust Him. So many people, I shouldn't say so many people, all of us, we have trouble trusting in the Lord when we have to wait. Because we want to do. That's what's so great about waiting on the Lord. Because we let God do what He can do, and we can do what we do. And if we do what we do, then He can do what we cannot do. And that's what, you know, the Lord says to Moses, stand still, tell the people to stand still, and they're going to see the salvation of God. And God begins to take off their wheels one by one. Boy, that's something. I like that one, because in the King James, it's better than any other translation. It says, and the chariot wheels drave heavily. Not drove, or drove, or drew, but drave. You know, I'm sure New International Version couldn't get that fast. It probably wouldn't be that good. There's some things, you can tell I'm a King James person. I love all the other ones, and I like to use them. But there are some words that you just can't find in these newer translations, and I like that old word, drave. You know who came up with that? I'm sure it was the Holy Spirit that used it for some reason. But it says those wheels just weren't turning. And they got bogged down in the bog, in the mud. Because those waters were going to come. Now, you know, in that story, there's two such powerful lessons that you learn from it, because these Egyptians are ready to flee because they recognize that God is helping Israel. That God is on their side and that He's working. And the waters are rolling over them. And these two lessons that you learn from this little story, I'm sure there are more, but two that I see here and there is that God is always watching over us, for one. And that's a powerful thing. When you see people in the Scriptures who discover the truth that His eye is upon them. Wasn't it Ethel Waters who used to sing that song? His eye is on the sparrow, and He what? I know He watches me. That's what Hagar learned along the way. And we all have to learn truths like this, that God is always looking. And the writer in the book of Exodus, if it's Moses indeed, as we think it is, that he is caused to write this, that God looks through the clouds, but His eye is always upon us, and He's thinking about us and planning for us, and He's never late. You know, He puts you on the edge of your seat when He comes the last second, but He gets there on time. And He always has answers for us. So you remember that when you're thinking about trusting God. God always sees you where you are. He knows where you are. And He knows what help you need. And the second truth is simply that God can bury your problem anytime He wants to. He just buried those Egyptians like that. And, you know, just think of the fear that went through the camp, you know. The Red Sea before them and the wilderness all around and the Egyptians behind them. And they say, what are we going to do now? And Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of God. And while they're looking back, the last people are coming out of the water. The waters begin to roll. And, you know, the Scripture says that God buried every one of them, including the burial. Done. Put them out of sight. Not one that survived, and the sea returned to normal. So when you look at this, the psalmist saying, some people trust in chariots. How foolish to just trust in the arm of flesh. Remember that song says, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. You can't do it. That's why God calls us to trust. And you know, during these few short services now, at the end of this week, there'll be opportunities and you'll be praying to God. And the Lord will say to you in your own heart, trust me, trust me. Say, some trust in chariots. Say, I'm not going to do that. Just not going to do that. You know, and you know, Israel wasn't done with all that trusting stuff. You know, they ran into these chariots again in Joshua the 11th chapter, and in Joshua the 17th chapter you have stories where one of these mighty armies that where kings came from the north, south, and east together and the west, and they all came together to fight against Joshua and the army. And the Lord says to him, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to deliver you and you're going to hamstring their horses. And they immediately knew that Joshua immediately knew what God was going to do. And he was going to display his strength and his power and his wisdom and his might. And he did it. And in the 17th chapter, just about six pages later, there's the same thing, and it's the children of Joseph and Ephraim, or Ephraim and Manasseh. They needed more land, and they were seeking for it, and they found out that coming against them were enemy nations, and they had not just chariots, but they had iron chariots. Now that put fear in your heart. Not just chariots, but Scripture talks about these iron chariots. And you know, I'm sure they said, Lord, they have iron chariots. And he said, iron chariots? No! No, I can't handle that. God never says that. You can't upset the Lord. Iron chariots? I know all about iron chariots, he says. I'll deal with it. Just trust me. Because that's what God keeps saying to us. See, that's all of our life, is we're learning to trust. Lord Jesus, keep me trusting Thee more. Trusting Thee more, trusting Thee more. May every day find me trusting Thee more. Storms may surround me and clouds hover o'er, but keep me, Lord Jesus, still trusting Thee more. And that's life. That's growing in grace. Well, what are you going to do? You're never going to make it. No, I'm just going to trust God. It's a wonderful thing to trust God. It's nerve-wracking, isn't it? You know, will it be on time? You know, but the Lord is never too late.
Always.
He's never too late, so that we don't have to exercise our faith and our trust. He holds us there long enough and then says, now's the time. You say, well, don't you know what our problem is? Sure, we know what problems are. But we have a problem, and that is that we focus on our problems instead of putting our eyes upon the Lord. I always love that. Psalm 123 says, as the servant eyes are upon the hand of the master, and the handmaiden's eyes are upon their mistress's hand, so our eyes are upon you, Lord, because we're looking to you. We're not looking over here, walls of water or troubles that are piling up, mountains of troubles and obstacles and hindrances, hindering forces, evil spirits, and anything else. Oh, and Jesus said at one point, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. They're trusting. Putting their trust in God. That's why we sing that song that way. 'Tis so sweet to what?
Trust
in Jesus. What's so sweet about it when you're impatient? You know? But it is, because when the desired end comes about, it's always better than anything we could have planned. Isn't that true? Man, you know. So we say, I never thought it would end up this way, because it always ends up better. Because like Ford, he has a new idea. And he says to us, I'll do a new thing.
Amen.
I like that, you know. For years we always used to claim that verse of scripture as a new verse. People would say, oh, I bet pastor's going to pick the same old verse from last year. And I'd pick, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Because it's wonderful when God does something new in his life. Because he doesn't get stuck in a rut like we do. He just says, well, I'll do something new. Well, in this case, in these illustrations from the scriptures, God was reminding the children of Israel through Joshua that the chariots that were made of iron meant really nothing to God, even though other people put their trust in him. You know, if you go through your Bible, when you get home, if you get your concordance out, you'll find that there are over 113 references in the scripture to chariots. Awesome what the Bible has to say about it. He says in one place, Isaiah is the one who says it. He says, woe to those who trust in the multitude of their chariots. You say, what does God think about it? That's what he thinks about it. He said, I feel sorry for those people who are just trusting in chariots. If they just trust in my right arm here, I never had big muscles. I always wished that those babies would just bulge like that. Remember the, what is it, baking soda that has arm and hammer on it? Just look at those. Just bulge like that. Just kind of grit your teeth at those guys that have those things. They're so big. Well, you say, well, what are you driving at? Well, you know what I'm driving at. If chariots represent this display of power, you say, how can we learn? We learn that it's right, it's wisdom, it's faith, it's pleasing to God when we put our trust in him. Because men in our world and people, and we have a struggle in ourselves, it's so easy to put our trust in ourselves. And we fail, as we said the other night, we fail to pray. Becomes kind of a thing of a last resort. And we get nervous and we lose peace. And the Isaiah says, I'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Why? You go through your Bible and find all these places where we're trusting in the Lord. I always love the part of that story where Charlton Heston, Ten Commandments, is in this chariot race. The Cecil B. DeMille wanted him to learn to drive the chariot, and he said, I can't do it. He said, I can't do it. He said, you've got to learn. I want those pictures of you driving that chariot right to the finish line. He said, well, maybe I can learn, but he said, I couldn't win if I do it. And Cecil B. DeMille says, you leave the winning to me. You drive the chariots. I'll see to it that you win. Now that's what God says to us. Don't trust in him. Just do what you can do. Leave everything into my hand. Trust me. Trust me. Trust and obey. Because there's no other way, is there, to be happy in Jesus but to trust. Then he says, others trust in horses. And of course, the symbol of a horse is of the strength and the power of a horse. It's might. And, you know, it's surprising when you go through the Bible how much the Bible has to say about horses. In Deuteronomy 17, God gave instruction to Israel of how to choose a king and what the king had to do. And one of the things it says is that he shall not multiply horses for himself. What's he saying to him? He doesn't want the king to trust either in the multiplicity of men or horses. He wants him, when you see David being judged by God because he numbered Israel, he knew the lack of faith, the haughtiness and the pride in David's heart to say, we have so many footmen and so many horses or so many whatever it is that we're trusting in. The Lord is saying to the kings of Israel, you're not going to live the way Egypt lives. and other nations live. Don't trust in the strength of chariots or of horses. When Josiah became king, that fine king that he was, he removed the horses from the king of Judah's stable. He eliminated them completely because he did it in obedience to the Lord. There was this clear declaration from Scripture and from the Lord that they should not put their trust in this. The psalmist says in the 33rd Psalm, a horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall I deliver any of you by that strength. I will deliver you by my strength. And of course, that passage again in Isaiah 31, woe to those who are trusting in horses. And you know, you'd be surprised all that the Bible has to say about these things. God brings it up to us in Scriptures and says, don't trust in that. Don't do that. You know? And you know, there are times when, as a pastor, you have to say to someone, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't take that path. But trust God. And you know what you hear so many times? Oh, that's easier for you to say. Well, as if we don't have to trust God. Everybody has to trust God. And God wants everybody to trust Him. He wants us to put our trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to trust in the finished work of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. He wants us to trust in the blood. He wants us to trust His Word. He wants us to trust the working and the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. It's all there. It's all in Scripture. We're there. It's there for us to see and to obey and to include into our lives. And you see, this kind of trust has to be passed on, as we're going to see tonight as we look at praise. Every generation has to learn to praise God. Every succeeding generation has to be taught. And every generation has to learn to trust God. It's not easy. Because we think, well, but I could do this. I'll just help the Lord and get started with Him. Abram tried to help the Lord in fulfilling the promise of having a son. And look at all the trouble we've had in the world ever since.
Amen.
Just a feeble effort on his part. Created all the trouble. And you know, ever since then, the Scriptures, you go through the Scriptures and here are all those things that tell us to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. We have to say to each other, you know, we don't only speak often of the coming of the Lord, and we encourage each other. And when you know someone's going through it, then you need to say, hey, I'm going to trust God with you, and I'm going to be praying with you. And we need to strengthen their hand in God. Because it isn't easy when you go it alone. You know, if you've ever been on your own and trusting God, you know what a tough thing it is. And you have to trust God. I remember when I was in Bible college, Lois and I had been going together for a good while, and I was starting in my ministry and she was still in college, and her daddy sent her down to another school in Springfield in Missouri, and she went, and he said to us, he said, are you willing to pray about your relationship together? Why don't you not communicate with each other for a while and see how you feel about it, and see if God is still allowing you to feel this love that you have for each other? And I thought, that guy, he's sending her down there with about 300 or 400 other guys, and I'm going up into this little town in Wisconsin where there's nobody else that I can even look at. And she's going to be dating all these guys, and I'm going to be sitting up there on my face saying, oh God, keep her. Keep her, Lord. Don't let her get... I thought, he hates me. Did you ever feel that way about someone? He hates me. I'm telling you the honest truth. You know? And you know, she went off to school in early September, and I thought, oh man, I've wasted 4 years of Bible college. I'll have to look all over again. She'll find some handsome guy down there. And I'd pray every day and pray every day. We met at Christmas time, and you know, I was afraid to say, do you still feel the same way? And she looked at me and she said, yes, I do. yes, I do. It's a wonderful feeling, you know. And then I remember we went on about another 6 weeks after Christmas, and at that time my father passed away of a heart attack, and Dad Wanamaker and John and Phil, Lois's two brothers, came to the funeral. I remember Dad slipped his arm in my arm as his pastor, and he said, "I'll be your dad," you know. And, talk about comforting someone, you know. And he said, "You guys can go on and continue to date," you know. And, you know, that's the story of our lives, isn't it? All right? She chased me. At least I like to think that. But now what does he say? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but what are we going to do? Trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's what he says to us. Put your trust in me. Put your trust in me. Chariots lose their wheels. They fall off. Horses break their legs, you know. What was it? Smarty Jones. Everybody was wanting him to win the Triple Crown. And, you know, very few horses have ever done it. And I'm sure that when you think of the people that have put their trust in horses, whether they're gambling or whether they're owners or trainers, Bible says don't put your trust in that direction. They are symbols of things that are unworthy of our trust. But God is worthy, and he's worthy not only of our praise, but of our trust. And he says to us, I want you to trust in me. I am your fortress. I love that verse of scripture where it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are safe. Isn't that great? Yeah. You hear that, you can just feel the strength coming. You know, it's like a city that's set on a hill. There's something so powerful about it. I'm the Lord thy God, and there is none else. Amen. Oh, the last chapters, maybe from chapter 17 in Leviticus or 18, up till the end, chapter 27. Over and over, the Lord is saying things, and he said, "For I am the Lord. I am the Lord. There is no other God beside me. I am the Lord." And it just repeated again and again. I like to underline those spots because that was the way that it was being done. He said, "I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to let you down. If you trust in me, you'll never be disappointed." Have you ever seen all the passages in Scripture where it says the kind of reward that we'll have if we'll just trust in him? One of them says you'll never be disappointed. Another one, it says you'll never be dumbfounded. Another translation says he will never fail you. And there's at least seven or eight different ways where the Lord just moves those adjectives and adverbs and those particles of speech around, and he says the same thing. Put your trust in me. Trust in me. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and what? Lean where? Not to your own understanding. Oh, there's so many times we say to ourselves, "I can do this." And the Lord says, "Don't trust in your own understanding." Why? Because it's so feeble. It's so weak. You can completely miss out and miss the whole mark, miss the whole experience or the lesson that God's trying to teach you. You know, there's something about faith that is, and trust that is so personal. You have to exercise that trust. you know, you can always say someone, trust the Lord with me, that's good, and they will. You know, when you say that, they understand what you're saying. They're not saying that you're not going to do anything, you're going to, but they need you to just let them know that you're going to be trusting with them, and you're going to be praying to the extent that you'll be strong through this trial, and you'll see it to the end, and you're going to pray it through, and God's going to give you the answer. But, you know, there are just times when we just think, well, you know, I don't know if I can make this. I need someone. And then they come alongside, just like the Holy Spirit and like the Lord comes alongside to help us. And our personal trust is strengthened. And He strengthens us day by day. But it's personal. I always love the story of the two guys that were, little guys that were going to the dentist. And they walked in, and finally the dentist came out and saw that these two boys were there, and he said, "What can I do for you boys?" And the older of the boys said to him, "I want to have a tooth pulled." And he says, I don't want any gas, and I don't want any Novocaine, I don't want to be put to sleep. So we don't want you to use any of those things. We just don't want any of that." And dentist said, "Well, that's really brave of you." He said, "You really don't know." He said, "I don't want you to use anything like that." And he said, "Well, now show me your tooth." And he turns to his little brother and says, "Tommy, show him your tooth." It was so easy to want someone else to trust the Lord when God says to you, "I want you to trust me." And those answers for money or bills or healing or anything comes our way, and the Lord says, "Trust me, trust me." You say, "Well, I let my brother do this." No, no. It's for you and for me. And that's how we trust Him. We trust Him for our salvation. We trust in His cleansing blood. And we trust Him for healing and for life. And we're going to go away from this camp meeting, we're going to be saying, I'm going to trust God like never before, because that's a resolve, and you have to be tenacious and persistent about it. And that's where prayer and praying through and seeking God and waiting on God and praising God and getting into the Word all comes in handy, because it all works together. Everything that you get at camp strengthens you. You get it at home, but there's something about camp that makes it even better. I'm glad I'm here at camp, aren't you?
Yeah.
Jesus, how glad we're here. Because Lord, all of us have so many things that we need to trust you for. It may be, Lord, that there are people who have been trusting you just to get here, and you've helped them, because you always help us. You're our helper. We remember that you help us at all times, and you lift us, and you strengthen us, and you speak to us. You are our helper, and we love you, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. We love you with heart and soul,
yes,
and mind and strength. Help us today. Help us to keep trusting you more. Let it be that there shall grow in our hearts this great, fond desire to please you by trusting you. Help us today. Help us through this day and tonight and tomorrow, Monday when we get back home, Lord, that our faith in Thee will have been strengthened because we've been trusting You. We'll trust You as the moments fly and as the days go by. And we thank You that You'll never fail us.
Yes, Lord.
In Your name we praise You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell him you want to trust him right now. Brother Eddie's going to come and lead us.